I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, and the Reverend Brian Gauthier is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. St. Paul says this in such a matter-of-fact way, and I think readers often miss his simple yet profound point. Two times, actually, in the first four verses, he describes the unregenerate as dead in their trespasses. Verse 1 and here again in verse 4. Perhaps its profundity gets lost in the rich gospel language we so lovingly know in Ephesians chapter 2, that salvation is by grace through faith. However, I think the reason has more to do with our general discomfort, realized or otherwise, with the theological reality Paul presents. Prior to the Holy Spirit's conversion through the gospel, human beings are dead spiritually. And the dead don't do anything at all. They cannot. Of all the ways to which sin and the unregenerate are described in the Bible, Paul's use of death or dead is easily my favorite. There's an utter helplessness and finality to death. Recall the most recent funeral you attended. Whoever was in that casket, rich or poor, young or old, famous or unknown, blue collar, white collar, none of that mattered. All are the same. Death is the great equalizer. A dead person can't even dress himself for his funeral or get himself to the church for that service. A dead person cannot do anything, nor is there a cure or medicine to help him or her recover or improve. In your sins and trespasses, this was you. Dead. Helpless. You know, now actually that I think about it, the language of death is probably most difficult because it slays two of our favorite sacred cows, our own righteousness and our free will. The Reformers rightly recognized this as they cited Ephesians 2:5 in the formula of Concord, both in Articles 1 and 2. Original sin and free will. How corrupt is our sinful nature, or is our nature? Not a little bit. Totally. The formula states, everything is entirely corrupt, so that because of original sin, a person is truly spiritually dead in God's sight. All a person's powers are dead to what is good. No wiggle room there. No degrees of corruption, no escape hatch, no means of comparison to justify oneself. Prior to the Spirit's work through the gospel, You're dead, and you have nothing to offer. You're but a beggar before God. There's nothing you can do, nor is there anything you can choose, which leads us to the second sacred cow, free will. Citing Ephesians 2, the formula continues, the scriptures deny to the intellect, the heart, the will of the natural man, all readiness, skill, capacity, and ability to think, to understand, to be able to do, to begin, to will, to undertake, to act, to work, and to agree to work anything good and right in the spiritual things from himself. Whew. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. See, having thoroughly established that a human being cannot do or will himself from death, Paul does not leave readers hopeless. In fact, the rest of chapter 2 is quite rich. He lets the other shoe drop. Even though you were dead, you were made alive together with Christ. Though you were helpless, Christ is not. Through his sacrificial death, he endured the Father's wrath for sin and atoned for the sins of the world. You were made alive when you were dead in your trespasses. Through the means of grace, the gospel, and the sacraments, the Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies you. He has awakened you from your spiritual death, even as you await the final awakening from physical death in the resurrection of all flesh. It's as if you like images, you are in your casket spiritually dead. And our Lord Jesus, by means of his Spirit and the gospel, reaches into your casket, pulls you out, and enlivens you. What kindness, what love that motivated God to send his Son, assuming flesh, to pull us from the tomb, so to speak. And what hope to know that this fleshly existence is not the end of the story. And yet, even as we've been made alive by Christ, sin still clings to the flesh. Paul reminds us in Romans 7, the good that we want to do, we do not do, and the evil we do not want to do, we persist on doing. Who will save us from this body of death? You see, the sneaky desire that you have to undermine your colleague for your own benefit, the refusal to apologize or forgive a family member to whom or against whom you have sinned. The secret moments when you permit your flesh, your heart, or your mind to linger on a thought or an image for your own pleasure. Each one of those are like taking steps back towards the casket of spiritual death from which you've been made alive. Paul reminds the Ephesians to remember who they were and that they were separated from Christ, but because of Christ, on account of Christ, they have been united to Christ for the sake of Christ. Paul says the same to you. When you were dead in your trespasses, God made you alive together in Christ. And in this sojourn, even as you tiptoe towards the casket, the gospel calls you back to life over and over again. And so I leave you with two tasks, really, today. Number one, give thanks to Christ that he has raised you from spiritual death to the light of faith and life. Nothing is required of you except you cling to the promise. And number two, be vigilant and continue to fix your eyes and your hearts and your minds on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, which keeps you from climbing back into the casket of spiritual darkness, to death in your trespasses. For though I know my heart's condition, we also know our Savior's voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please stand?
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.